Well, praise the Lord. Thank God that He is a God of peace. Amen. And boy, we need that more than ever in the world we live in today. And I really was not sure what to expect coming into Illinois. As I've said before, traveling as we do on this furlough, every church is different, every state is different, every county is different, and you just go in ready for anything. And I didn't know what to expect here today, and I thank God that y'all are normal. Amen. And what a blessing. My wife and I just came back from preaching a missions conference in Oregon, and you think you have it bad here. Boy, we really need to pray for our churches out there. But when I was preaching there, they literally had a plexiglass box around the platform. And that was hard preaching because you're seeing your reflection in the plexiglass, plus the sound of your voice is bouncing off at you. And so then I would step back to preach, and my wife said, "You're defeating the whole purpose of the box," you know. And I said, "Well, I can't do it," you know. And so when I got up to preach, I tried to, you know, bring some levity in it. I just sort of, you know, I didn't know I was so important that you put bulletproof glass up here for me. And anyway, we do need to pray for our churches across this land. And thank God for some of the victories we've seen lately in the courts. And but our hope is not in the courts. Our hope is not in the government. Our hope and trust is in the Lord, and He's in control. And you know, let me just give you this just a little bit. If you don't have a walk with the Lord right now, I really need to encourage you to do that, because these next few years we're going to need it. Because if you're looking at any outside sources for your hope or your comfort, you're going to be in a mess. You're going to be in a mess. And I just, every morning I try to make sure I take that time with the Lord, and just there's just comfort and peace that He gives you when you spend time with the Lord every day. And so I challenge you to walk with the Lord each and every day. 2 Kings chapter 17, 2 Kings and chapter number 17. And once again, I want to thank your pastor for allowing us the opportunity to be able to be here. It is a privilege. And I thank him so much for that. And again, I want to thank all of you, even in between the Sunday school and the church service, that came and told us that you're praying for us. And what a blessing. Amen. And truly, sometimes we go to churches that have supported us from the very beginning, and they don't know who we are. And it is sad. And so I thank the Lord that you're praying for us. I thank the Lord that you're taking prayer cards, that you're following up on your missionaries. What a blessing that is. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 17, and in honor of God's word, let's stand as we read our text. 2 Kings 17, and let's begin reading in verse number 20. And the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel, and afflicted them, and delivered them into the hand of spoilers, until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord, and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam which he did, they departed not from them, until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants the prophets. So was Israel carried away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon, and from Cuthah, and from Ava, and from Hamath, and from Zepharvim, and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel. And they possessed Samaria, and dwelt in the cities thereof. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there, that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them, which slew some of them. Wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, The nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria know not the manner of the God of the land. Therefore he has sent lions among them, and behold, they slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. Then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, Carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. Then one of the priests, whom they carried away from Samaria, came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truths and the principles that are brought out in your word. Lord, I pray that you would take this truth that is taught in this chapter here. Lord, I pray that, Lord, it would not be my words or my wisdom, but I pray that it be the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God that convicts hearts and, Lord, convinces us and convicts us so that we change and live a life, Lord, that truly, truly fears the Lord. Thank you, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In this passage of Scripture is one of the most interesting stories, in my opinion, in the Bible, one that you don't hear about very much. Israel has been taken into captivity, as we saw there in verse 23. The Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by his servants the prophets. So Israel was taken away out of their own land to Assyria unto this day. And you understand that Israel, because of Solomon and his son Rehoboam, and then you have Jeroboam, the nation of Israel was divided into two kingdoms, the northern kingdom under Jeroboam, the southern kingdom of Judah under Rehoboam. And the northern kingdom followed the ways of Jeroboam. Pretty much every king followed in the ways of Jeroboam, and it just continued to get worse and worse until they actually went from the ways of Jeroboam to the ways of Baal and following Baal worship. And so we find literally no king, no leader in Israel that followed in the ways of God. The southern kingdom was a little bit different. They had some of the prophets and they listened. They had several kings that were godly kings that brought revival in the land. They had some bad kings, but for the most part, Judah was a definitely an opposite of Israel as far as looking at the two different kingdoms and seeing people that had a desire to follow the Lord. But when you look at Israel, we find that God reached a point in Israel's history, the northern kingdom, where God said, that's enough. I've had it. And I believe that there is that point where God reaches where he says, that's it. Where he has worked and he has shown mercy and he has sent his prophets and his preachers and sent his word and he's done everything he can, and he's reached that point where he says, that's it. And so we find that the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he said by his prophets. And we understand later on in history that he did the same thing with Judah, and Judah was taken into captivity and into Babylon. But because of his promise to David and because of the fact that there was some history of godliness within Judah, Judah was only taken into captivity for 70 years. And after those 70 years were fulfilled, they were able to come back into the land and possess the land of Israel again, but not so with the northern kingdom. As a matter of fact, with the northern kingdom, when Assyria came in and destroyed this kingdom, they did what was very common in those days. I remember back in 2018, my wife and I were able to celebrate our 25th anniversary, and so we're kind of in the same time zone as Israel, and so we just took a plane straight north and went to Israel for our 25th anniversary. And one of the things that I learned as we traveled around Israel is that in the old days, in the days of these kings, whenever they would defeat someone, they would literally build on top of them. They would destroy their land. They would destroy their buildings, their walls, and they would build on top. And they would just keep building on top and keep building on top. And so if you go to Israel and you find different of these, what they call tells, you can see different types of kingdoms that have controlled that area. And one of the things that they would do is whenever they would capture a kingdom, the idea was not to just put them into servitude as Babylon did, but the idea was to totally annihilate them. And so to annihilate them, what they would do is they would not just come and defeat you and let you live in your land. They would defeat you. They would take you away from your land and they would replace their own people within your land. And we see that here in this passage of Scripture. The Bible says in verse number 24, the king of Assyria brought men from Babylon and from Cutha and from Ava and from Hamath and from Zepharvaim and placed them in the cities of Samaria instead of the children of Israel, and they possessed Samaria and dwelt there. So we understand that they are not only, Assyria is not only defeating a nation, but they are defeating a culture. They're defeating a language. They're defeating a history. They're defeating a lifestyle, so that there is no way for them to come back. And so this is what he did. And the Bible says in verse number 25, and so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Now, there are several things in this chapter as I was reading this chapter that just kind of jumped out to me as strange. And when things jump out as strange, it kind of compels me to dig a little deeper and try to find out why does this sound so strange. Well, the Bible says when these people came in from Babylon and from Ava and from all these different places to possess the cities of Samaria, the Bible says here that from the beginning of their dwelling there, they feared not the Lord. And so my first question is, why would God expect them to? They're pagans. They're Gentiles. They're people from foreign lands. They're people that know not the ways of God. They know not the manner of God. And so why would God expect them to? The Bible says that from the beginning of their dwelling there, they feared not the Lord. Therefore, because they feared not the Lord sent lions among them and slew some of them. And I'm thinking to myself, why? God has allowed Israel to be annihilated. God has allowed Israel to be taken captive by the Assyrians. God has allowed Israel to be wiped off the map, so to speak. And now these pagan Gentiles come in and possess the land. And he makes a special note that they did not fear the Lord. And so because they did not fear the Lord sent lions among them and slew them. My question is why? Why would God expect them to fear the Lord? Why would God send a judgment on these Gentiles that he did not send on his own people? What's the answer here? Well, as I was reading in the book of Ezekiel, it's amazing when you read the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel is, yes, it is a, he's talking to Israel, he's talking to the Jewish people, but in Ezekiel he also addresses many of these nations. He addresses Babylon, he addresses Tyre and Sidon, and he addresses all these things. And it's interesting that 63 times in the book of Ezekiel he makes a special statement. He says, I'm going to bring judgment upon Babylon. I'm going to bring judgment upon Tyre. And I'm going to bring judgment upon Sidon and on Moab and upon Midian and all these different places. I'm going to bring judgment upon them. Why? That they may know that I am the Lord. You see, they may be in a pagan country. They may be a Gentile nation. But God still wants them to understand, I am the Lord. And so it's no different here when God is allowing the Assyrians to come in and allowing Assyria to take over this land. And these Gentiles come in thinking that, hey, we are in control now. We have defeated this land of Israel and now we are possessing and we are replacing their culture. We're replacing their language and all of this thing. And you can imagine that victory that they seem to have had. And then all of a sudden these lions start showing up and these lions start killing their people. Because they did not fear the Lord. It wasn't necessary that God was expecting them to, because they were pagan Gentiles, they were pagan lands coming in. It wasn't necessary that he was expecting them to as a pagan culture, but he just simply wanted them to understand, I am in control. I have allowed you to come in here. I have allowed you to possess this land, but there's one thing you need to understand. Even though you are in this land, I am still the God of this land. I am still in control of this land. And so what happens to this land is by no accident, I am the one that tells or dictates what goes on. By the way, that would be a good principle for us to learn in our country today. God's in control. And it's easy to say, but do we really believe it? He is in control, and He is going to... here He allowed Israel to be taken off the face of the map and allowed it to be replaced by a pagan leadership and pagan kings. And we wonder, why would a God do that? Listen, don't ever forget, God's in control. And so God is saying, listen, I want you to understand, I am still in control, and I want you to understand that there is still a God of the land, and because you are not fearing me, I'm going to remind you who's in control. Wherefore, verse number 26, wherefore they spake to the king of Assyria, saying, the nations which thou hast removed and placed in the cities of Samaria, they know not the manner of the God of the land. Isn't it interesting that this pagan king, this wicked king, this Gentile king, this king that has nothing to do with God, understood the history of Israel, that there was a manner of the God of the land. And that even though Israel itself had rejected God and gone their own way, they understood the history of Israel and the fact that there was a God, there is a God, and there is a manner of the God that they are expected to live by. And so he says, it's because of this reason, verse 26, that he hath sent lions among them and slay them, because they know not the manner of the God of the land. So the king has this idea. He says, all right, they know not the manner of the God. The lions are here. They're here destroying our people. And so here's the solution. Verse 27, then the king of Assyria commanded, saying, carry thither one of the priests whom ye brought from thence, and let them go and dwell there, and let him teach them the manner of the God of the land. He said, here's what we got to do. We've got to teach these people to fear the Lord. These lions are here. These lions are a nuisance, and these lions are causing problems, and these lions it's not safe to walk at night. And so let's bring a man of God. Let's bring a prophet that used to be here, and let's bring him in and teach the people the manner of the God of the land. Teach them how to fear the Lord so that we can solve this problem. Verse number 28. Then one of the priests whom they had carried away from Samaria came and dwelt in Bethel and taught them how they should fear the Lord. Now, my question is, and the Bible does not name this priest, the Bible does not say who he was or what he taught them, but my question is, why wasn't this priest teaching this earlier? Why wasn't this priest teaching them how to fear God earlier? So he's teaching them how to fear the Lord in verse number 29. Howbeit, every nation, these nations that had been brought in to replace Israel to live here in Samaria, howbeit every nation made gods of their own and put them in the houses of the high places which the Samaritans had made, every nation in their cities wherein they dwelt. And the men of Babylon made Sukobinoth, and the men of Cuth made Nergal, and the men of Hamath made Ashima, and the Avites made Nibhaz and Tartak, and the Sepharvites burnt their children in fire to Adramelech and Anamelech and the gods of Sepharvim. So they feared the Lord and made themselves of the lowest of them priests in the high places, which sacrificed for them in the houses of the high places. They feared the Lord and serve their own gods. How is that possible? How is that possible for a priest to come in there and teach them how to fear the Lord and teach them the manner of the God of the land and teach them what is right and wrong? And then these men, on the other hand, are making gods of their own, and they're making their own high places, and they're making places for their gods, and even the Bible says burning their children in the fire. How can you live that way and fear the Lord? How is that possible? The Bible says in verse 33, they feared the Lord and served their own gods after the manner of the nations whom they carried away from thence. How is that possible? As I began reading and studying and praying and looking at this passage, the only way that that is possible is this. They feared the Lord just enough to keep the lions away. Just enough to keep the lions away. That is the very situation we are in our country today. We want just enough God. We want just enough religion. We want just enough church to keep the lions away, but let me live the way I want to live. Let me worship the way I want to worship. Let me have the gods that I want to have, and I can still carry a Bible under my arm, and I can still say that I worship God, and I can still say that I fear God, but I can still do what I want to do because I just want enough religion, I just want enough God so that He can solve my problems. Isn't it interesting that you remember, and of course, I'm sure that those of you that are older than I am can go back to even more examples in our American history, but it's interesting that 9/11 takes place and our country seemed to all come back to church just to keep the lions away. But nothing changed. Oh, now we're facing a worldwide problem with coronavirus and COVID, and people are crying out to God and they're saying, God, please help us get through this, and God, we want this to be solved, and God, we want everything back the way it was, and we want our normal lifestyles back, and Lord, please help us out. Until the lions go away, and then we're right back to where we were before. The problem is truly teaching someone to fear the Lord is to forsake all else. It is to forsake. It is God. God is not the Band-Aid to solve your problems. God is not just someone to turn to when you can't go to your favorite restaurant anymore. God is not someone to come to when all of a sudden your 401k is not what it used to be. God is not someone to come to when you just have a financial or a health difficulty in your family and you cry out to God and say, oh God, help me get through this. Your idea of fearing the Lord is no different than what these people were. God, if you can just keep those lions away, I'll be happy and I can keep doing the way I'm doing it and I can say that I fear you and I can say that I follow you and everything will be just fine. But there is a manner of the God of the land. There is a right way to fear the Lord, and it's mentioned right here. The Bible says in verse number 34, unto this day they do not after their former manners, they fear not the Lord. Neither do they after their statutes or after their ordinances or after the law and commandments which the Lord commanded the children of Israel, whom He named Israel, or the children of Jacob, whom He named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow down to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. He said, listen, I want you to first understand that there, the manner of the God of the land believes that there is a Jehovah God. Believes that worship and honor and sacrifice is to Him alone. There is no, he said, he's going to say this many times. He says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Listen, a fear of the Lord understands that God is first and church is first and His word is first, no matter what's happening in our country. No matter who is the president, no matter what financial situation I'm in, no matter what health situation I'm in, no matter what I'm going through in my life, God is still God. He does not change. He does not change. He is the same yesterday and today forever. There is right and wrong. There is God's law. There is a manner that you and I need to live like in our world today. Worship, honor, and sacrifice to Jehovah alone. Notice in verse number 35, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them, but the Lord, Jehovah, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with a great power and a stretched out arm, and Him shall ye fear, and Him shall ye worship, and to Him shall ye do sacrifice. He is the Lord God. We have got to get that settled in our hearts and our minds. Whether you are here in Bourbonnais, Illinois, or whether you're in Masaka, Uganda, or wherever it is in the world that you are, it doesn't matter what situation, it doesn't matter what trial, it doesn't matter what difficulty, it doesn't matter what circumstance, God is still God. And He never changes. He never changes. I can't understand why God's people across this land, and I hope I'm not speaking to anyone here today, but that God's people across this land would put their hands together and worry and fret and wonder what is going to happen with our life and what's going on. I'm telling you, God is in control. God is on the throne. He wrote the last chapter of the Bible. And I am so glad that I can live my life. And listen, I'm not looking for the next tribulation, the next trial, or the next problem. I'm not looking for those things to come. But if they do come, and if they do come in my life, He's still God. He's still God. Notice the Bible says in verse number 37, and the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandment which He wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. Now again, over here they're fearing gods and fearing the Lord. And God said, listen, if you want to truly follow the manner of the God, if you want to truly fear me, first of all, you must understand I am the Lord God. I am the only one. But also that I have set before you statutes and observances and the law and commandments. And I have given you a book to follow. And I've given you a book to believe. And I've given you a book to give you hope. And I've given you a book to read and to follow and to strengthen you and to help you. And not only that, but I place the Holy Spirit of God within you to help teach you this book. I'm telling you, the manner of the God of the land is a wonderful manner. I thank God for this book. I thank God that I can read it and study it, and it encourages me and it helps me understand what is going on in the world today, and it gives me hope. He said, listen, don't fear these other gods. I have given you statutes. I have given you ordinances. I have given you the law, the commandments. I have written these down for you. When's the last time you picked it up? When's the last time, just as preacher said a minute ago, that you turned off the news and just got in the book? I have determined this whole furlough, you can ask my wife, I have determined to, as much as possible, to take a news fast. Because I don't know about you, it just gives me no hope listening to it. You don't know who to believe anyway. But you get in this book, there's truth. There's hope.
Yes.
I love that book.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
He says, I'm your God. I've given you a book. But not only that, he says in verse 38, and the covenant which I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. Again, he said, listen, you don't need to have these other gods. You don't need to fear these other gods because I have made my promises to you. Oh, as you go through God's Word and you read His promises, they never fail. His promises, it's amazing to me, and again, I don't know how it is in this church, but it's amazing to me that as I've traveled from church to church, from coast to coast, we've been in over 60 different churches, and all 60 of those churches, except for two, have said their missions has been going up. And their tithes and offerings have been going up. Yeah, it's amazing to me that even in the face of a pandemic that they're calling it out there, or the face of this health crisis, it's amazing that God's people can still do the work of God. God's people can still do His work. We just have to keep our eyes on our purpose and not our eyes on the television. Amen? That's just the fact. His promises are new. His promises are here for us. His promises are there for us to give us hope. He said, listen, why these gods that are here, these gods don't give you hope. These gods don't give you promises. These gods can't fulfill what they say they're going to fulfill. But I am the Lord God. I have given you a book, and in that book is a covenant. In that book are promises that I will keep. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you every step of the way. I'll provide for you. I'll meet your needs. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll guide you. I'll comfort you. What a great God we have. What an amazing God we have. But he goes on. Not only do we have these covenants, but he says in verse number 39, but the Lord your God ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hands of your enemies. God says, listen, how are these gods going to deliver you? They're wood and they're gold and they're made with men's hands. How are they? But he says, I am the one who can deliver you. And you know what? Again, as you look at the situation we're in our world, in our country, and I'll be honest with you, I'm like anybody else. I ask the Lord, Lord, what's going to happen? How are we going to get back to the country? And how's this going to change the future of missions? And how's it going to change our ministry there? And I just stop back and I say, you know what? It doesn't really matter. I know God. And I know his purpose, and I know his plan, and I'm just going to keep on going. I'm going to keep on going. You know, I try not to be cynical. But I travel across the country, and I see a country that is scared to death. And they're afraid that all of a sudden that they might die. As if that was never there before. And I tell people, they say, well, what are you doing? You know, I mean, you're still traveling from church to church and you're still preaching. I say, yeah. Well, don't you fear that you're going to get coronavirus? And don't you fear you're going to get sick? And I'm honest when I say this. I say, no, I'm not. You understand the rest of the world lives with this 24/7? We've had more people in Uganda die from Ebola this year than from corona. Tuberculosis and malaria and disease after disease that I could name, from yellow fever, all these. We live with that 24/7. You say, well, what do? You wash your hands. You use hand sanitizer. And you go on and live life. You live life. Satan is having a ball watching God's people sit in churches scared to death because they won't go to their neighbor and talk to them about the Lord. They won't give out gospel tracts. You know, it's amazing in this time. I've passed out hundreds of tracts since we've been on furlough here, and I've only had maybe two refused. Because people are looking for an answer. They're looking for hope. They're looking for something to help them. And if you and I do not truly believe that God is here to protect us and he's here to deliver us and he's here to watch over us, then we're no different. We can offer nothing different than they do. Please understand, I'm not saying be careless. I'm not saying be foolish. I'm just saying we have a God, and God has given us a purpose, and God has given us something that we need to fulfill, and we need to truly come to grips with this fact. Do I really fear God or not? Do I truly have a desire to make a difference for God in this world or not? And so he says, this is the manner of the God of the land. The manner of the God of the Lamb is to worship and honor and sacrifice to Jehovah alone. It is to observe my writings, my book. It is to trust the promises of God. It is to trust in the deliverance and the protection of God. That is the manner of the God of the land. And he said, listen, that is what you need to be having in your life, not living a two-faced life. Why did they fear the Lord and then turn around the next day and make idols? And the next day fear the Lord and the next day turn around and make idols. Because God to them was nothing more than solve my problems, but let me live the way I want to live. We have a lot of people that come to church in Africa for that same reason. I want to come and I want to get saved and I want to get born again, and then you find out the whole reason they're coming is so they can get a job so that God can solve their problems, and when God's not solving their problems, you never see them again. Understand this: God is not at our beck and call. He is not there so that when you have a difficulty or problem, we can whistle for him like a dog and say, "Hey, come solve my problem." He's a sovereign God. I'm glad that he helps, and I'm glad that he, but we don't deserve that. And so my encouragement to us this morning is, listen, why are you here? Do you truly fear God? How are you going to live different today as you'll live tomorrow? How are you going to talk different today than you do tomorrow? What are you going to watch different today that you'll watch tomorrow? Are we just like these? I fear you, Lord, but I've also got my idols over here. I fear you, Lord, just God, just, I'm holding on just enough. Solve my problems. But I still want my lifestyle over here. My friend, as long as we live that way, we will never have any influence for God. We'll never have any influence for God. Because all we are, I heard an illustration the other day. I don't remember who gave the illustration, but he was talking about an illustration that Dr. Lee Robertson used one time when he was preaching. And he had a table up on the platform, and he took a glass of water. And he poured that water on the table. And he says, young people, he says, do you know what you see? He says, where does the water go? He says, the water always goes when you pour it on the table where the path of least resistance is. And he says, that's where most people in God's house are. Wherever the path of least resistance is, wherever I can serve, where there's not any persecution, where there's not any problems, where there's not any difficulty. And God says, listen, I want you to come to me 100% with all your heart. Serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Don't just be here just to keep the lions away. Give your all to the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Serve him with all of your heart. Whether you're here, whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether you're abroad, wherever it might be, serve him with all your heart, because he is God. Let's stand as we pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, this morning I wonder if there might be someone here this morning that you'd say, Brother Keith, the fact of the matter is, I don't know Jesus Christ as my Savior. I've always thought of religion, I've always thought of God, and I've always thought of church as being something to just solve my problems, but I've never considered God as being able to have a relationship with Him. My friend, I'm telling you today, God wants a relationship with you. God wants to save you from your sins. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we have a Bible right here, and we can take the Bible and show you from the Bible how you can be born again and you can give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. If you've never been saved, if you've never been born again, I'm going to invite you in just a little bit to come down and take one of these men by the hand and say, "Brother, I need to get saved. I need to trust Christ as my Savior." Maybe, Christians, you're here today. You've been living kind of a two-way lifestyle. Fearing God on one hand, but living your own life on the other. And you wonder why your Christian life is frustrating. You wonder why there's no fruit. Because you can't serve God and mammon. You can't have one and the other. You can't fear God and have the idols. It takes 100% commitment to the manner of the God of the land. I'm going to pray. And after I pray, I'm going to ask the pianist to play. And as she plays, if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I want to invite you to come. Let us take the Bible, show you how to be saved. Christian, maybe you need to come to this altar. Maybe there's some things, some idols, some ways of this world, ways of a Gentile, ungodly culture that we need to cast aside and make a decision this morning to fear God with all of our hearts. Not just to keep the lions away, but to fear God with all of our heart because He is God. Father, I pray, help us this morning. Holy Spirit of God, You can only work as You can, Lord. I don't know who's here. I don't know each person's heart. But Father, I pray this morning the altar will be full of God's people getting on their knees before You, doing business with You. Father, seeking with all their heart to fear You. To fear You no matter if the times are good or bad, healthy, unhealthy, financially good, financially bad. In all things, Lord, You are Jehovah God. Help us, Father, I pray. As the pianist begins to play, if God spoke in your heart, maybe you need to step out and come this morning. Do business with God this morning. Never been saved. Oh, would you come? These men are down here waiting in the front, waiting with their Bible. Take the Bible and show you how you can know Jesus Christ.
Answer the question in your heart this morning, is my faith just enough to keep the lions away, or is my faith total commitment? This is a day to be tender. This is a day to respond. If you didn't see all the present day applications in that passage, I don't know how you missed it. Open your eyes, open your heart to God. May God help us to have a faith that's more intense than just keeping the lions away. We'll sell out to Him lock, stock, and barrel 7 days a week, 52 weeks a year, regardless of the external circumstances going on in family and country and world. If you're not saved, I would invite you to come this morning and trust Christ. If you've been saved and you need to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, we're happy to get that done for you this morning as well. Now's the time to come. But Christian, what a message, what a challenge for us today. Outstanding. While we wait, God's still moving, God's still speaking, people still coming. Would you come?